Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, much more importantly, singer, model, and now author Samantha Fox is our very special guest. Thrilled to have the iconic singer with us. Samantha, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Doing well, and congratulations on your autobiography. And what can you tell us about it?
Well, so far, so good. Recently just went to number one on Amazon bestseller list. I was really surprised. As a lot of people maybe know, if they're fans, I've started in 1986. Never wrote a book before. So this is the first definitive book that I've written. And I guess people have been waiting a long time for it. It took me around a couple of years to write. It's very funny. It can be sad at times. It's a roller coaster of an amazing life that I've led, and it's very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly been an interesting life. A lot of people would change places with you in a second. Certainly young women trying to make it as either a model or as an entertainer. And you were so iconic, and you were one of the Farrah Fawcetts who had the posters. Actually, you were the last one that I remember that had that iconic, the iconic poster that every, young boy seemed to have. And, you had Farrah Fawcett, and you had a lot of those folks. Yeah, really that pop culture icons now. You still see those same posters. I mean, what can you say about it? Is it old? Does it get old fast? Or is it enjoyable? Is it always something that puts a smile on your face?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course. I have no regrets in my life. And those posters still exist. I may not be in those boys' bedrooms anymore because they're grown up and married. I'm probably in the garages now. But I feel proud of those days, and I have no problem with that. And I think the record at first I was a model, and then I finished in 1986 and then began a recording career. So what did happen at the beginning, when the success became international, because one minute I was a glamour model in Britain, next minute I was an international recording star. And especially in America, they kept saying to me when I came over, wow, you should do modeling, you should do pictures. And I was like, well, I've done that for the last four years. And so a lot of people, a lot of publications went in to agencies and bought those pictures and made them into posters. And the first thing was, I didn't want people to get kind of mixed up with what I was trying to promote. If you look at the pop videos, they're all very tasteful. I'm wearing clothes, I'm wearing jean jackets, t-shirts, ripped jeans, or I didn't really need to promote my body during those songs. The songs were sexy enough anyway. Those pictures, yeah, they're still around, which does, I guess, make me iconic. So I still feel proud about that. People still, when I do conventions and I've got my pictures in front of me, they look at the classics of those days and they still want me to sign them. And that's okay with me, because I look back with, great, I think, wow, what a life I've had, and what a great time. A fantastic career as a model, and then also an amazing career as a pop star, and still doing around 150 shows a year across the world.
Wow.
So it hasn't stopped since 86, which is amazing. I'm now recording my 10th album, and I write for other people, I produce for other people. So it's escalated from there. I'm older now, so it's really nice that I can... I'm actually just starting my own record label, where I'm hoping to discover new talent across the world and produce them and hopefully find young stars, because there's no way, I don't think I could ever retire out of the business, because I love the music business so much, I mean, it has changed, I must admit. It's harder now because of downloads and Spotify, and we have to work a lot harder now on our live shows. Because with people down, like, yeah, one person will buy your track and they'll they'll share it with a mate or they'll put it on an MP3 for them. And you think, please don't do that. The music business
it's stealing.
Suffering.
It's stealing, right? Everybody's got to know
that. Please don't do that. You know, if you're a fan, help us.
Yeah. Well, let me remind. Let me remind folks of who they're hearing. If you're just tuning in or just turning on your radios, Frank McKay here. Much more importantly, the iconic Samantha Fox. And you know her for, you know, she keeps mentioning 86, but what a year that was for her. And she is still doing 150 shows a year. And also a book, a new book that's number one on Amazon, her autobiography. And get it. Don't steal it. Don't share it with your mates. Get it. buy 10 of them. And Samantha Fox here with
buy 10 of them
and just hand them out. And the men might have to read them in the garage, you know, read them in the garage.
No. It's funny because there's a lot of women buying my book because in the book, it starts obviously during my childhood and then how I got into the modeling business. And, you know, there's a lot of do's and don'ts in that business. And then it goes on to the music business. And, you know, I learned by mistakes like a lot of people, right? Well, a lot of people don't learn by their mistakes, but thank God I have. And I really wish when I started at the age of 17 in modelling and then at the age of 21 in music that there was a book I could read that would help me in some way and steer clear of the, let's say, the dark side of those businesses. So a lot of girls are buying the book too, and a lot of young people because they want to get into the music business and they want to see how I did it and what I actually went through. And it is a lot of hard work. You have to put that hard work in. People have to realise that. It can be a short-lived career, but if you work hard, you build up a good fan base and... that's the most important thing is to really work hard. Do the rounds, do the radio shows, do the live shows, do everything you can in order to be successful. It doesn't fall into your hands. It's not that easy. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So the book is very educational, very educational.
You know, you mentioned some of the, you know, some of the pitfalls and what young women have to go through. You know, here in America, I don't know about it, there in the UK, but we're going through a Me Too movement, and it is
we have the same here. Yeah.
And it's I think it's encouraging that women are speaking up and they're encouraging others to speak up, and it's finally happening. It's taken a real long time, I guess, because maybe people didn't believe them or they were embarrassed or somehow they blamed the victim, but it's long overdue. I mean, I would assume you agree.
Well, you know what it is as well. It happened to me at a young age. Unfortunately, it happened. It's in the book. And my book was finished. It was released in America in October before this certain person died who I'm going to talk about. Because when the book was released in England, a lot of his fans said, oh, I can't believe you're jumping on the bandwagon. He can't stick up for himself because he's dead now. And that was a hero of mine called David Cassidy. Mm. And I was doing a modeling shoot with him when I was like 19. And he followed me into the toilet. He grabbed me, he tried to sexually assault me. Being a London, North London girl, I need him in the lower region. Yeah. And which gave me a few minutes to run out the loo and get out of his way. And I remember going back to the table with my dad. And there was the record company. And my dreams at that time, I was nearly, you know, was going into the music business. And I thought, do I say something? Or is this going to stop me getting into the music business? Because this guy sitting there was the head of, well, he's like the big toff at Sony Records. Yeah. And, you know, he may not sign me. And the thing is, it didn't traumatize me. I didn't have to do anything about it. I dealt with it there and then. But what was a shame was when the book came out in England, which was after October, which was December, a lot of the David Cassidy fans said, why are you saying it now? I said, no, I said it in October before he died. Yes, it's very sad he died. And yes,
But also, you know, you just put out the book. I mean, you know, if you did an autobiography in 1986, you'd put it in the book then. I mean, it was a part of my life.
And also, you know, I'd encourage young girls, if it did happen to them, yeah, quickly, swiftly, knee them really hard so you can get away quick.
Yeah, good for you.
And
I mean, that's terrific.
I was doing martial arts at the time, so my reflex, I was just very quick. But I can understand why people are saying, why didn't girls say it at the time? It's because those young girls were trying to make it in Hollywood or whatever, and they were probably thinking, oh, if I say something, my dreams will never come true.
Yeah.
And how
dare them?
The same with Jennifer Lawrence, you know.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, how dare them question your timing? I mean, who cares that he was sick or that he was dying? He did something egregious, and he was healthy at the time, and...
As far as I was concerned, David was fine when I did the book in October, but I finished it in the April before it was finished. As people should realise, when you write a book, I finished it let's say 2016. 2016 I finished it in the April, and then it has to go to print. Then the editor has to go through everything. Then you have to choose the pictures that you want in the book. Then it has to be translated, which my book has been done in many, many languages because I work around the world and I have fans around the world. So it takes a long time for that book to go into production and actually come out. It's a little bit like when people make movies. They shoot the movie and it's probably 6 months after they shoot the movie, it comes out because they have to go to Cannes Film Festival, the Sundance Festival, yep. And they have to distribute that. So I hope people understand that. But we have that going on here too, and that's all coming out now. But I think with strong actresses like Jennifer Lawrence who's starting campaigns and helping young starlets, it's going to help a lot of young people. I really hope so.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it's great. And, I mean, to hell with these people that are questioning your timing. Let me remind folks, if you're just turning on your radios, you're hearing the voice of the wonderful Samantha Fox, and now author Samantha Fox.
Samantha Fox.
Samantha Fox. And you have the opportunity to get this autobiography. It's got all kinds of things in there. And if you want to criticize her timing on it, to hell with you. But buy the book. It's an autobiography. And again, singer, entertainer.
They can, if they want to, if they're really big fans, they can get it from my website signed personally. So that's
what's
cool
the website?
Thing.
Give us the name of the website.
It's www.sanfox.com. And they just literally go onto my shop. And there's lots of rarities there. Things probably in America they haven't seen for a while. I did a remix of... it was the 30th year of Touch Me, I think, last year.
Big hit.
So I did a big remix of that on vinyl too, and a picture disc. So very collectible. And then I did some deluxe editions and remixes, what I put out of Naughty Girls Need Love Too, I Want to Have Some Fun, and those Four Falls records. So there's lots of stuff on the shop if they've missed out in the States, which I'm really hoping to return to the States very soon.
Well, let me again remind folks to get this book. Get it. It's a wonderful autobiography. It's getting rave reviews. Frank McKay with Samantha Fox. If you can, without giving up too much, because we want people to buy it, do a little bit of your history as far as where you started from. Where were you born? Where were you raised?
I was born in the East End of London to a working class family who were a family of market traders. My mum had me pretty young at the age of 20. My dad was 21. My dad was a carpenter. My mother was a receptionist. I didn't come from I came from a working class family. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. My book does read like a fairy tale, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, my life so changed. And then I went to drama school. I was always as a kid singing and dressing up and doing plays at home with my mates. So I started to go to drama school at the age of 5, where I was doing musicals and acting. And then I went to another drama school in my teens, and then there I set up my first band when I was 15. And we was all at the same school, so we used to play at all the school discos. It's funny, I know, but all the schools used to book us for the end of term parties and their and certain celebrations. And then when I was nearly 17, I entered a competition called the Face and Shape of 1983. And I came second in that. And a publication, a very famous publication called The Sun, assigned me for a 4-year contract, which is amazing.
Big time.
I mean, at that time, glamour models weren't really, they didn't really have a voice. And then I came along, I was like, no, this is not going to happen. And I went along and auditioned for various TV shows, and I presented current affairs shows. I did major chat shows. I had my own restaurant, my own clothesline, underwear line. There was even Samantha Fox pillowcases with my face on. And oh, I don't know. There was wallpaper with me on and all sorts. I don't know how people didn't go blind, to be honest. Can you imagine having wallpaper with me on it? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well,
let alone all the posters.
Well, let me ask you about a downside of that. Again, Frank McKay here with Samantha Fox. Buy her book, Autobiography. It's number one on Amazon, bestseller. And please get this book. Let me ask you about anonymity. At what point do you get where you can't go do your own shopping anymore, or you can't, somewhere in 86, I imagine, what, sooner than that, 84?
Probably 1983.
Oh, wow.
When I first appeared. Well, the picture of the first time that I posed, it appeared front page of the biggest national paper in England. And the Falklands War was on. And all the soldiers were getting in touch with the paper saying, we're lonely down here, you know, in the Falklands. It's freezing and we're lonely. We want more pictures of Sam Fox. So that's when they decided to give me the 4-year contract. And so I was a regular girl who appeared on page 3 there, which is a national institution in Great Britain. It's not top shelf pictures. It's very tasteful glamour.
Yeah, sure.
It was literally, I was nearly 17. I was doing my A-levels at school, which is after your O-levels, because at that time I used to say to the teachers, they say, what do you want to do when you leave school? And I say, no, I'm going into the entertainment business. I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be a star. And they say, now, Samantha, you're being very modest now. Can you think of something, you know, normal? I went, something normal? No, I don't want to be something normal. No, I said, I really loved Starsky and Hutch at the time.
Yeah.
And I said, I want to be a private detective and catch people. And I imagine myself going around in plain clothes and catching all the nasty people in the world. And then I wrote off to the Hendon Police Academy, and they said I was too tiny.
How tall were you?
I don't know what you do in America, but I'm 5 foot one.
Oh, 5 foot one, yeah.
I'm
models
probably about
here.
About as tall as Prince.
Yeah,
God bless his soul.
Do you know what models are expected to be with Ford and Elite here? They're expected to be like now 5'11", right? Something along those lines.
Oh, I know.
Crazy.
I mean, I was more a glamour model, which was a one-to-one photo shoot. I didn't do catwalk modeling, no, I wasn't a clothes hanger. Most of my modeling was swimwear, lingerie, and stuff like that. As long as you had a good figure and you photographed well, it was fine. And, I obviously did.
Yeah.
Because
people
stuck me on the walls everywhere. So, that's another thing that when girls read the book, they'll go, wow, I don't have to be anorexic looking and be stick thin and that tall. And, you know, if you want to be a glamour model, it's glamour, that womanly figure did go out in the 90s, which was a shame.
Yeah.
Because I think at the end of the day, men do prefer something to kind of grab hold of, don't they, really?
Well, yeah, listen.
I'm not putting down all the thin women out there, but I unfortunately weren't born like that. And, you know, I used my assets to, you know, my assets were my boobs. They were great. I had very small hips, and then I had long legs. So I photographed really well, you know. And everything is real and still real, which is I'm very proud of. And they still defy gravity. What can I say?
Oh, listen. Listen, you should be proud about a lot of things, not just that.
I am.
But everything that you, everywhere you've come from. And the book is red hot, and it's on Amazon, and everyone should get it. It's the autobiography of Samantha Fox. Frank McKay here with the iconic.
There's a funny
singer.
Story.
Please
there's
do.
There's a funny story about Paul Stanley in the book. I used to date Paul. I lived in New York in 1989, and I dated Paul Stanley from Kiss. And there's a chapter about me and Paul in there, which is really funny, I've got to say. A lot of people laugh at that. Put it this way, he had a bit of OCD, and I'm a quite a clumsy person.
We'll be back right after this.
Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
Let me remind folks of who they're hearing. If you're just tuning in or just turning on your radios, Frank McKay here. Much more importantly, the iconic Samantha Fox. And you know her for, you know, she keeps mentioning 86, but what a year that was for her. And she is still doing 150 shows a year. And also a book, new book that's number one on Amazon, her autobiography. And get it. Don't steal it. Don't share it with your mates. Let me ask you about, and not to get too personal, but are you married at this point?
As good as.
Okay, well, that's nice. No children.
My parents divorced, you know, and during the height of my career, and my sister was very young, and it was a really painful experience. And sometimes I just think, of course, I think marriage is a wonderful thing between two people. I was with somebody for 17 years before the partner I am with now, and everything is going great and it's smooth. And I think, I just don't want to stir the apple cart. I don't know. I've just got some sort of weird thing about it. As long as you love each other, trust each other. And I keep thinking, all you ever read about Hollywood and famous people, and when because they're apart so much, they're just getting divorced all the time. And it's the children who suffer. And then there's these arguments over the kids and who's going to have the kids. And I went through all that. That's in the book. And as much as I believe in fairy tale weddings and all that kind of stuff, it's not something I'm rushing into. Look at me at the age of 51.
Wow. Listen, good for you,
though. You never know, though.
I think, you know, like what I'm taking it just in a short period of time and everything that I know of you, it is fairy tale-like. And, you know, originally when you said that you were... you know, it's got different connotations here, but you were the child of traitors. That sounds almost like, yes, Wall Street. No, you're you know, trade.
No,
folks
not
that
Wall
in the street,
Street.
Right? Yeah, your
no,
dad was a carpenter.
Traders who, yeah, I mean, yeah. Market traders in the way of like a typical London market with stores with, yeah, fruit and veg and stuff like that, and hard workers. My nan and granddad. During the war, my granddad was, let's say, what you call him, a Red Beret. He got shot at Arnhem, then he was prisoner of war camp for 3 years. My nan presumed he was dead, so she struggled to bring up, you know, lots of children. And so, nothing came easy to my family.
This is nice.
When this happened, yeah, you know, when this happened to me, it was like a fairy tale. The whole family, somebody suddenly became an international star, and it was like, and I made everybody's life a little bit happier. I could help out with my family, with money, take care of my parents, give them a better life too, as well as myself.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever I watch a biography or I read a biography, I don't want to read about the rich guys, you know, and the rich gals that,
yeah,
that, you know, because we know how they made it. You know, they had every advantage and they had everything else. I want to hear about the carpenter's daughter who went on to international,
yeah,
fame. I want to hear about the son of the poor immigrants that came to America and they struggled. That's what,
yeah,
we want to hear about. That's called the American,
yeah,
dream. I don't know what they call it in
the
UK. But that's, you've heard the term the American dream?
I have indeed. I mean, I love that film. think it was the film with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman when they came over on the boat from Ireland to America.
Yeah, what is that?
And I can't remember. Win Sam Fox T-shirt. Tell us the answer. I'm only joking. I can't remember, but I loved it. And obviously on this boat, the rich people were upstairs, a little bit like the Titanic. The rich people were upstairs and all the poor people were underneath. You know, the people from Ireland and the people who didn't have money from London. And they got to Ireland with nothing. Not to Ireland. They probably got off at Boston or New York. And there's a lot of Irish in New York and in Boston. And they started from scratch and they had nothing. I love those kind of stories.
And what was it, Far and Away? Was it not Far and Away, right? Or Eyes Wide Shut?
Yeah, I think it was Far and Away.
Yeah, that's what it was. And
yeah.
But that's what we like to hear in America. So that's what I'm saying. Your autobiography
success
is that.
Stories, like dreams coming true.
Yeah, it is.
Dreams can come true. And it's great for people to hold on to their dreams. They must never let go of their dreams because it can happen. And if you believe in something so much and you want something so much and you work hard and you go for it, because nobody gives you the keys to success. And you know, a lot of it's down to you. And once you get that, you've got to retain it, and you've got to work hard to keep that, because it's not easy to get, you know?
Yeah. Well,
it's really not.
We want to hear, and again, if you're just turning on your radios, Frank McKay here with the great Samantha Fox, the great story, and the autobiography is something you should absolutely get. Buy 20 of them and hand them out to poor people
on
the street.
You are funny. You're very sweet. I need you as a publicist.
Frank McKay here with Samantha Fox, the wonderful. And again, we want to hear, as Americans, we want to hear that the glass slipper fit. We want to hear that Rocky, you know, survived and went the distance. We want to hear these stories. At the same time, I think the public likes to hear the fall of people once they get there, but they forget that all success is not created equal. And you know, if you're the daughter of a carpenter and you're the son of a, you know, merchant, you know, small merchant you know, whatever. We want to hear that, but you forget that as soon as you become that iconic star. And then, you know, then people want you to, unfortunately, people are cheering against you. How have you been?
Yeah, some of those people, unfortunately, do change. But, you know, I was told very early on, Sam, don't change who you are, because who you are is what's made you. And that's what people love about you. And unfortunately, in this business, along the way, I've been in the business, 33, 34 years. I've met a lot of my idols and I have been disappointed. I must admit, and they're not the people I thought they maybe were. And I don't understand why they change. And when they do change, they wonder why they fail. But your fans are so important. For example, I do my own Instagram. I do my own Facebook. They're talking to me. They're not talking to one of my, you know, a lackey who works for me or my PA or somebody. I say, oh, can you do my social media? Can you write this today? Can you do that today? I do it myself. And then I get private messages, you know, from fans saying, I'm really depressed at the moment. My mum and dad have found out that I'm gay. They're kicking me out of the house. Can you please send them an email and explain that I love them and I'm still their daughter or I'm still their son? And I do those kind of things, you know. Love is love at the end of the day. Or there's kids out there who need fundraising for illnesses they've got. They need special operations. I get straight on Twitter and I get all my fans together and we try to help raise awareness for those kind of things. Your fans without them, where would you be? Because at some point, the radios do stop playing your music, but you've still got your fans. And then, I mean, look at people like Iron Maiden. It's not like they've got records in the charts all the time, but they can sell out stadiums for thousands of people because they're fantastic with their fans, you know? And that's what's I call them my Foxy Army. And they've always been there for me, and they stick up for me on social media. If somebody writes something really crappy, they're right on them and tell them straight what the truth of the matter is or what's really going on. And so without your fans, you've got to keep them close, because without them from the very beginning, I wouldn't be where I am today either. You know, I really wouldn't.
Yeah. How about, and again, Samantha Fox, Get the Autobiography, Frank McKay Here. It's on Amazon. It's a hit. And it is a Cinderella story in so many ways. And she's the daughter of blue collar folks and wonderful, hardworking folks there. And you'll see all and hear and read about all types of things. Frank McKay again with the wonderful Samantha Fox. What about criticism? And I'm sure you got it from day one. Anytime there's a beautiful woman that goes to make it from modeling to this to that business. Yeah. You get it. And there's going to be jealousy, competitiveness. How did you deal with criticism growing up in the business, and how do you deal with it now?
When I very first started, I was young. So my mother would accompany me to many of the photo shoots, make sure the photographer kept it tasteful. My dad was my manager for a while because I was very young, and I felt very protected at that time. And my mum and dad used to say to me, Sam, you're going to get people who love you in this world and people who hate you. And you're going to get criticism. I had it at school, to be honest. I remember being very popular at school with the boys, and girls would be ambitious of me because they were jealous. And I had to learn just to ignore it and carry on just being who I was. If it's good criticism, I take it on board. And sometimes I'll look back at a chat show I've done and I think, no, I've come across as myself and I've always said what I want to say. There's been performances where maybe I could have done better and the criticism would be, I really don't like the way the dance routine she does. Then I think, I'm not taking no notice of that criticism because there's many people who love that dance routine and everybody was doing it at the clubs. But if it was good criticism, then I would take it on board and I would learn from it. But most of the time, like, let's say for the last 20 years, I don't look at any of the reviews really, because it can dishearten you. And that's one person's opinion. And that's what you've got to learn from the beginning. At the beginning, you find it really difficult because you're young. You're still a bit insecure about yourself. But when you get into, like, late 20s, you start learning about yourself more. You become a woman and you know what you like to wear. You know you know how to... I don't know, you can look in the mirror and say, yeah, I'm happy with myself. But when you're really young, it's difficult to take on criticism. So now it's like I've learned that that's one person's opinion. And then if the record goes to like top five, I think to myself. I remember when I first released Touch Me, actually, it was my first record in England and I was a very famous model. And there was this particular DJ and he said, oh, here's a record from glamour model Samantha Fox. I bet it's not her on the record. Straight away people think if you're beautiful, you're sexy, you can't do anything else, right? It's so stupid. And he scratched it off the radio live on air. He said, this will never be a hit. It went to number one in 17 countries. It went to number three in the States. Most British people really struggled at that time to make it in the States. And that was a dream come true. And I saw that DJ a few weeks after it became a big success. And I had to go up to him and say, oh, you're a really good DJ, aren't you? And since then, karma has reached this guy. You know, he's been sacked off the radio. He's cheated on his wife. He's the other day he got caught drink and driving for the second time. I think he's going up to court soon. And yeah, I do believe in karma. And I had that criticism at the beginning because there was a lot of people, they had these preconceived ideas when a woman looks a certain way that she can't do anything else. But thank God, as time has gone by, the world has changed, and women, you know, there is girl power now in the business, in TV and radio and film. But back in the early 80s, it was very much a man's world, very much. And it's much, much better now, and it's still this and that, it goes on in the business. But girls are much stronger now because they feel more empowered. So things have changed since the 80s, I must admit. But at the beginning, it was very difficult, I must admit, to shake off. I'll never shake off the sexy image, and I don't care about that, because at the end of the day, the record companies say Sam Fox is a great package. She's great to listen to, her videos are fun, and she's also every boy's dream at the time. So I was a good package. So that's why we did fantastic. We always do singles and CDs with free poster giveaways, because we knew that we had a market where people not only liked to listen to me, they used to like to look at me. So they got the best of me. And I understood that. I understood that completely. You know, I was a good package.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And listen, that's
in the best possible taste.
Yeah. It's and she could write a good story too. And she's got a glass slipper on her foot. The daughter of working class folks in the UK. Not a silver spoon anywhere near that mouth. Samantha Fox is our very special guest. We've got a couple moments left with the wonderful singer and model and Frank McKay here with the now best-selling author, and it's a hot book right now. Everyone's got to get it, and you get it on Amazon and anywhere else they sell wonderful books. Getting back to what you just said about the guy, and again, you know, he's criticizing you for being a model or a beautiful woman, and then he immediately scratches your record or he does whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something with guys like that. Something happened. Either their mother did something to them, or their mother didn't love them, or they got turned down in grammar school or grade school, you know, high school. Something, he got left at the prom without a date. And there's an opportunity for him, you know, if he has a bully pulpit, if he has some place that he could go, he could take a shot at somebody who's who's on the rise. And it's unfortunate, yeah. But I think there's a lot to be said for that. And I think when you hear that kind of attitude coming out of men, and that's an extreme case, but when you see even subtle things about men putting down women or successful women, beautiful women, something happened there. It's not the woman. It's something that happened in his life.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Right or wrong.
Well, yeah, because as I said, the guy, you know, has had karma since, and, you know, his relationships have never lasted. He's, and the women that he's, the wife that he cheated on did a story in the paper saying he was a male chauvinist and he treated her like rubbish. And he used to tell her, I'm going on fishing trips. And that was when he was going to see his women. So, he obviously wasn't a very nice person to women. I'm not, you know, but, yeah, I just don't like people who have these preconceived ideas about how people are, and just because the way you look, it's ridiculous. You know, I've been singing and acting since the age of 5, and had my band at 15, and I grafted hard to get where I am today. I just didn't make a pop record because I was a successful model. People wanted me to do this record, and I had a good voice, and my first deal I got when I auditioned for the song Touch Me was a 5-album deal there and then. And then straight away, many people takes years to break the States or break the world, and straight away this record went to number one everywhere and top 5 everywhere, and I felt a great sense of achievement, and all those people who knocked me at the beginning, It was great to see him again, and like more, and then they say to me things like, "Oh, congratulations, Sam! The album's so wonderful." And I remember what they'd written in a review, slagging the album off, and I couldn't wait to say, "Oh, you're the one who said the album wouldn't do well, and it was a piece of rubbish, pop cheese rubbish." And then me being like one of the only artists ever to have 2 top 5 records on both sides of the Atlantic and being 2 different songs. You know, I don't think a lot of English girls or Western girls have achieved that. So I felt so proud, you know.
Western boys too. It's not just girls. It's Western boys, and it's been an amazing career. Samantha Fox. We got about a minute and a half left with Samantha Fox. Go to her website and get a signed autographed copy, and buy this book though, Amazon and anywhere they sell books. It's a Cinderella story, and she wonderful career as a performer, still doing 150 shows per year, which is tremendous work ethic over there, and model and singer.
I've done about 5 movies now, which is great, but don't get me mixed up with the other Samantha Fox in America.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that probably happens. That's good for her.
You know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's,
it's so funny. I still get fan mail sometimes. Yeah. And, I loved you in that movie, Warrior Queen. And I think, I don't remember doing a film called Warrior Queen. No, you got the wrong Samantha Fox. She's about 20 years older than me as well, with red hair.
Yeah.
Don't get me mixed up.
Well, listen, Frank McKay here, closing out with Samantha Fox. What's the rest of the year look like for you? Are you coming to the United States? Are you going? Where are you heading?
I am. I'm coming out to the States because the album is nearly finished, and then I'll come out and promote the album and promote the book some more because I haven't come out there yet. You're the first interview I've done for America about the book, funny enough. So that's great. And then the album will come out worldwide, and then we'll finish up with a tour across the world. Lots of exciting things going to happen this year.
Listen, thank you very much for your time. And congratulations on all the success, but certainly the success of the book, and everyone get this book, Autobiography of Samantha Fox. Samantha, thank you very, very much for
being here. Great talking to you.
Same here.
You're welcome. It's been great talking to you, and a fantastic interview. And hello to all my fans in the USA, and I'll see you all soon. And lots of love and kisses.
Samantha Fox, everyone, get the book, the autobiography, number one on Amazon, bestseller. Frank McKay signing off. Samantha Fox has been our very special guest. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.